Welcome to Have a Chat. I'm your host, Vaughn Hay. I also practice as a coach in mindset and hypnotherapy, where I help people regulate their stress and emotions to make better decisions and have a clearer outcome in where they want to go. I created this platform, Have a Chat, to get people on to share their story and give us a great insight in what life is all about and all the opportunities we have within our life. It's been a great success so far. I'm looking forward to the future and seeing what other guests and great stories and journeys I hear from my guests. Life is all about working towards our purpose and passion. And as a coach, that's what I focus on, helping people get a clearer path and a clearer vision in where they want to head. This week's episode of Have a Chat, I've got Sam Flock on. She's a mindset coach. Her business is around the core health. It's focusing on people's emotions, building their stronger mindsets and releasing negative emotions to live a better, more powerful life. So I welcome you today, Sam, for coming on and sharing your story with my listeners today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. If you can just give a little bit of insight about what you do or how you came about the coaching space and a little bit of history of your journey to date as well, so the listeners can get a good understanding of your path to where you've ended up today.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, so I created the Core Health pretty quickly after I came out of school. So my journey, like many that are in this space, evolved out of my own experiences of, you know, extreme elements of running and experiencing anxieties through mostly towards the end of high school. So coming to year 11, you know, I had a really disconnected relationship with my body. I was doing a bit of modeling at the time, and you know, it kind of just spiraled from there. And you know, I was always really into health, but towards that part of my life, it wasn't healthy what I was doing. And you know, I was coming out, I was studying, you know, had all these expectations of what I wanted to do, and kind of came out being like, oh, I have no idea what's going on. And you know, so I was really lucky to work with a lot of different practitioners during that time, and was really lucky enough to have the motivation and the want to change what I was doing at that time. So I was working with a psychologist at the time called Julie Gunluck, and she was absolutely incredible, and she was the one that introduced me into mindfulness. So, you know, I'd go in to see her, kind of getting ready to talk about all my things, and you know, I remember she just said, well, let's just start with the breath. I was like, what? No, we've got to talk about these things. You've got to fix me. And, you know, she introduced me to these tools. And especially for myself, I was running, you know, a lot of controlling addictive habits with food and, you know, these self-soothing routines that were very restrictive at that time. And I had these really realistic available choices that gave me choices that I didn't think I'd have. And so from there, I was around 19 when I started the Core Health. And for me, that was really coming down to wanting to support people mostly around body image and mindset and food, because that's what I was experiencing at that time. So I started cooking, and I remember on a job in, when I was on one of my last shoots in Byron, I ended up in staying with a girl who was a whole food chef. And you know, I love telling this story because it just fills me up and makes me really happy. Awesome. And you know, she cooked me, it was just these simple rice paper rolls, and it was this table, and it had the most colorful spread of just veggies and just food. And we sat down, we all, you know, it was four girls, and we sat down, you know, in this little bungalow hut in the bush, and you know, just ate. It was the first time I had a completely different experience to what I usually did. I didn't usually, that response was either, you know, weighing myself or going for, you know, compensating with exercise, you know, into what I know now, a way of just gauging control and feeling other than what I did. Yeah. And you know, from there it just eventuated. I came home, I got creative, I just had this, you know, fire that I hadn't had in so long to want to turn what I was feeling into something more supportive. And so then I went up to Byron and I did 6 months of plant-based whole foods cooking. And so I'm also a qualified whole food chef. If you've been on one of our retreats now, you'll see me in the kitchen, and that's usually, that's the only kind of cooking I'm doing these days, but it's great. I love it. And from there, I started mostly my page started with, you know, tips with cooking people who were having, you know, these intolerances. And what I was also seeing online was a lot of people around me, or, you know, people even younger or older, there was a lot of food being shared, but it, you know, the nutritional value was really lacking. Yeah. And especially that's why I went and did that course, because I had a lot of intolerances at that point and I want to learn to, you know, feed myself properly. Yep. So I started sharing all these recipes, and then I'd add little mindful tips that I'd learned as well. And by that point I'd done my mindfulness teacher training with my psychologist, Julie. So I started bringing those two in together and really seeing a lot of people come back saying, oh, you know, that really helped me. I could really resonate with that. I could really, you know, that is something that I'm personally going through. So that's where it kind of evolved from there. And then I ended up at Nature Care doing my coaching diploma, and it had a side diploma in nutrition too. So yeah, from there, that was about 3 years in, and now 7 years down the track, I've been working with clients for the past 7 years. And again, that has really grown and evolved from, you know, working with food and, you know, going from that practical way. But for me, strategy and a practical approach forward has what has been the most beneficial thing for me. So now I am a qualified strategic psychotherapist, and like yourself, I am actually just about finished my clinical hypnotherapy course.
Very nice. So
yeah, it's an amazing tool. I think we could maybe have a chat about that later. But yeah, so for me, I'm now working in a clinic in Mona Vale called Purify Essential Wellness with the most amazing team of don't discriminate, but women practitioners that we have in here, but all are welcome. And I've been really lucky to work under, you know, an amazing array of people that I've learned so much from as well. But mostly the people that I see are all different ages, all different walks of life. But, and that's the best thing about it. No matter how old you are, no matter what you're going through, what I highlight is the choices you can make to do differently. So what I focus on is mostly, yes, mental and emotional, but helping you to understand not only your patterns, but your element of conditioning to learn to shift the way you live and do into something more helpful. So I do focus mostly on anxiety, addictive habits such as emotional or deprivative eating, aspects of control, and just helping you with all of these ranges of tools to create a more effective and supportive way of living and being. Because a lot of what, you know, people usually come in with is this feeling of stuck or feeling overwhelmed or feeling as if their past, or usually what they're coming in with labels is, I'm an anxious person, I am this, and you're so much more than that. And that's what we really want to highlight. So within session, we create a really realistic base. And this is what I usually see the most is, you know, usually people have gone in, they've done all the courses, they've done all these things, but usually this is what I explain it as. It's almost like the first gear of a car. You can have all of the information, you can have all the gear, but if you don't know how to apply it, that's where you're going to get stuck. Yeah. So rounding all that back. So I do work online. I also run retreats and workshops. And I do specify also with teens with usually anxiety and body image related issues as well.
Awesome. I love it. I love you. Yes, you've actually got a lot of, you know, color within your story of what you've created from the start to where you are now and what you're going to extend on doing. So we'll touch on base with a lot of them, but I want to go back to the beginning. You mentioned expectation. You put all this expectation on yourself when you're finishing school, and that sort of was the turning point in when you sort of started to go downward spiral in a darker hole for yourself. And what you were saying was those expectations from yourself or from external people of you know, what you think they wanted you to do or where you wanted to be at a certain stage at a certain age?
Yeah, my reflection on that has pretty much changes and grows each and every year as I do look back with my own change and experience as well. But, you know, and I think it's really lucky, you know, just pulling a contrast that I've got a beautiful little niece, and you know what they're learning at school now in regards to, you know, limiting those, you know, lowering I should say those expectations, and they're learning mindfulness tools, they're learning to be, you know, more self-effective and understanding what's going on and actually learning to support those themselves and saying, you know, yes, those things matter, but you know, you're most important too. And I think looking back, you know, coming through school, I went to a private school in DY. If anyone's around here, you probably know what it is, but I won't mention the name, but they have been in the news at the moment. It was a really amazing school and I'm really grateful I went there, but yep. You know, for me, I worked my tush off to, you know, go through my HSE, and to be honest, that's where a lot of my stuff really started. You know, I was working towards something that, you know, I thought, yeah, this is where you're going to be and this is what life looks like. And, you know, as I got older, I really realized that doesn't mean anything, and that's going to chop and change just like everything is. And as I say to my clients, you know, the most certain thing in life is uncertainty. And, you know, for us to grow and evolve into where we are now, that's been navigating that uncertain space. And looking back at those expectations, that was a real pinnacle for a lot of things with not only my food, my, you know, my body, but, you know, having these things that were just completely unrealistic and not changeable. And it's funny, I was writing about this the other day and I was saying, you know, it's really hard to have an expectation around something that's changeable. And it was after, you know, quite consistent, especially with people being home, that element of, you know, that negative internal voice popping up and a lot of body image stuff truthfully popping up for a lot of people at the moment. And, but, you know, when we focus on one thing giving us something, nothing outside of us will ever truly make us feel anything. Will only ever be an added influence to what you're going to feel. And, you know, I was really lucky to have support of parents who, you know, have both run their own businesses their whole life. And, you know, if you've met if anyone knows my dad, you know, or met my dad before, you know, he's had so many different businesses. He'll be very honest to say, you know, I was successful and then I lost all my money and then it chopped and changed and then I had to grow and adapt. So I've been lucky to have that give it a go mind. And if you fall over, you can get back up. But I think for me, when it comes down to expectation, that is something that I understand now after being completely on the opposite side of trying to achieve something that was so unrealistic in terms of, you know, rushing to get there, you know, whether it comes to, you know, work or achieving things so early or, you know, having to look a certain way. Like I said before, it's really hard to have an expectation on something that is changeable. And so for me, looking back, it was almost, I think for me, it was a societal thing, you know, looking at things, you know, people around me and what they're going to do. And again, that comparison that can sometimes come up, but again, my comparison was quite biased. I was like, I have to get here, but that person's like 20 years older than me, but I need to get there earlier. And, you know, I think it's a big thing I see in society as well, especially for, you know, a lot of people in our generations of, you know, what we're exposed to. It looks like it's really important to have that discernment to say, you know, that those things take time and, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But yeah, my belief and view of expectation now is very different, but I am also very glad that I did experience that to realize I never want to go back into setting those unrealistic expectations again.
I think they're great learning curves, and they're only great if we take them as a positive or take the learnings from it and able to then grow and build from it, which you have done. And you mentioned, which I was going to bring up, the social expectation, which we sort of create within ourselves. It's get pushed within us as well, but we sort of create that pressure within ourselves, and we're comparing constantly, you know, both where we live as well. It's probably that type of demographic where it's probably highlighted more, and it's, you know, everyone knows everyone too. So we feel like we have to, you know, match the Joneses and compare with everyone and try and always outdo someone. And instead of worrying about what we want to achieve and what we value and what really gives us meaning and purpose moving forward. So I think, yeah, having some tough lessons can also be a really positive advantage moving forward as well. You know, and it sounds like you've definitely made those great positive changes and now implementing them for yourself, but also sharing them on to your clients as well. So, going on with the food relationship you had at that age, you mentioned that you sort of, you didn't have a healthy relationship with food. And it was that moment of the four girls sitting down, eating, you know, within, you know, that nice, comfortable space. What sort of was different to all your past experience to that date, which sort of made you be more open and accepting of, you know, food and your relationship with food?
Yeah, well, it's even interesting, even bringing in a couple of things that I do learn now and that I do bring into session with these, you know, with the elements of psychotherapy that we look at. It's really looking at how do I come to the conclusions or actions that I do, and it's really run through those how questions of, when was this a problem to when wasn't it a problem? What were you doing when it's a problem? What were you doing when it wasn't? Yeah. And, what I've begun to understand is, you're only really doing something until you're not. You're only comparing until you're comparing it. What are you doing when you're comparing? What are you doing when you're not? So this is what we look at. And, even if I'm going to reference that to, highlight a bit of skill in there today is, when we have those inbuilt reactions, we can feel like they're so automatic and we don't have choice within that. But, we're only, even in my circumstance, I was only choosing to react and, have that food as a control until I wasn't. So for me, those determining factors of when that became, quote unquote, issue for me was, again, when I felt, I had, a form of rejection. I went into that, not good enough spiral. And then, my confirmation bias became, yes, look at all these things that are proving that I'm not good enough in this. And I went into, I remember I got, this was about end of year 10 going to year 11 where this kind of started to eventuate for me. I went into an agency and I'd been, offered a spot to go in and have a meeting, and I was, very fit, always very healthy at that point before then, never concerned about my weight or what I look like. I was always very much a tomboy, going out surfing with the boys, doing whatever they were trying to do and outdo them. I was never one to
try. Never dies, never does it?
A little bit of healthy competition, but yeah, and it was, and again, it's funny, I was literally writing about this today, and, for myself now, I understand it's not the one car that makes the pothole in the road. It's a, it's a numerous amount of factors that are underlying to why we have the conditioning or attributes that we do. But for me, that was a big pinnacle of basing my view of myself on other people. And that was something that I really navigated for quite a lot, for quite a long time. And from there, I go, well, for what I felt rejected for my body type, for, my personality, saying, well, you can go here because what you have, we don't accept and doesn't suit. Yes. And that's where my challenge of myself and, my self-esteem, really I was engaging with every negative conversation or voice within myself that came up. And with a lot of those things, even with, eating-related disorders or body image stuff, they don't present always in the way that you think. They can be very silent or hidden or have, no bodily response at all.
Yeah.
And, so like anything, they can, like with anxiety or depression or, anything like that, it's, it doesn't always have to present in the way that we think. So, when it came down to managing and trying to gauge control of what I could, that's where, everything became, a focus of time, and this is how I, if my weight was like this, then I'll be accepted, then. And even when I got to then, my health was deteriorating, all of those things.
Yeah.
But it then came down to, which is usually a common thing in control, of what if I don't do this?
Mm.
It wasn't just about the what ifs, and that's what you see with a lot of self-soothing routines or, whatever it may be. It comes down to the what if I don't do this?
Mm.
And that came down to an understanding of no understanding of, what I actually got to control of, what I couldn't, what I was responsible for and what I wasn't responsible for. And the whole focus of was on what I couldn't do over what I could at that time.
Yeah.
And, when you're navigating and moving through those patterns, especially when it comes down to food, it's funny, I was on a walk this week and, it came into my head, it said, yes, those habits waste, what I say, I'm honest with that, wasted a lot of time in my past, but they're not going to steal my future. And that was something that I always would repeat to myself. And it came down to the acceptance. And one thing that is really prevalent in client sessions too, your needs, and I had to understand for myself too, that your needs and what you need to do for you are completely different to everyone else.
Definitely.
So when I was starting to, do those things, rebuild my relationship mostly with myself, but, food was the biggest reaction and trigger point for me, was I had to do my three breaths every time I went out or when I was at the dinner table or when I was with my friends. But the bigger meaning of that was to support that future self, without sounding too cliche.
Yeah.
And, you know, to change a habit, you have to foresee the future benefit of doing so, because a lot of those rituals and a lot of those habits and a lot of what I was doing for myself then was just such an avoidant thing of accepting or managing the discomfort and uncertainty in the moment. So, you know, a big kind of broader story than just food, but just, that's just basing from my understanding now. But like you said, when you find those things that do support you and help you, and for me, it wasn't just the food that night. It was me being able to sit with a group of girls without, you know, impact, you know, worrying about what they were thinking, or, you know, thinking that I knew what they were thinking, getting into all those what ifs and catastrophizing. I had that opportunity to not only see that I had a different experience, but that I could choose differently.
Yeah, wow.
And I have a rice paper roll to thank for that. So that
is who would say a rice paper roll would change your train of thought or give you an eye-opening moment? But but it is so right. It's usually not the thing we're focusing so much on is the problem. It's the things which are deeper and not aligning with our true value and our true self, and trying to control something we think we can control, even though we don't have any control over it, is the thing. And letting go of that control or lack of control and accepting it, which sounds like you did in that space where you were sitting there with four girls, the environment was perfectly right for you at the time, and a rice paper roll appeared and, you know, it sort of gave you that light bulb moment. And I think that's powerful. And I think that's what, if you're listening as well, it's not all about focusing on what you think's the problem. It's about sort of letting go and dropping your guard and just being yourself and not trying to fix anything and allow things just to come up and then identify it. And then you'll probably see a pattern occurring and you'll start asking questions, why? And why is this keeping? Yeah. And the deeper you dig underneath that, you'll find more things, you know, moving forward. So I think, your story and your experiences are so real. And if you're talking to a young girl or a young boy, you know, who are probably experiencing similar things, what are some of the tips you would probably recommend for them, you know, if it's reaching out for help or identifying, you know, some key behaviors or tools or techniques to move forward through that? Because as a young kid, it's quite difficult, you know, sometimes to reach out or to sort of have that initial step of acknowledgement.
Yeah, well, it comes down to, you know, and again, this is so individual, but even when people do come in, I teach everyone the same, you know, specific steps in first session, because a lot of times, you know, when we're trying to move through our reactions, we're not actually learning to come back to ourselves in those times. So, you know, what I say is the breath isn't just like, I'm going to breathe and be still right now. That's your first boundary. That's the thing that interrupts your pattern, and that's the thing that creates space for you to offer yourself a choice that you didn't think you can have before. And
couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. It's the most powerful thing, and we underestimate something like so simple or breathing. Sorry to interrupt, but just the breathing, because I use it with every time before every session or beginning of every session, come back to that 3 to 5 breaths, because the power of breathing, and it's free and it's with us all the time. We just don't allow ourselves to give that space and time to give those deeper breaths to reset or just to bring us to more of a present state.
And that's the thing when we are, you know, running whatever pattern we have learned without, you know, our judgment, again, we've all learned a way to manage in the best way that we could, but that also really blinds us and negates us from all the incredible resources that we have. So this one's been a really prevalent topic, and, you know, will resonate with kids as well, is, you know, that story of not good enough. And often what I'll say is, again, that how question of, well, how do you determine that you're not good enough, for who, at what, and in what, and in what context? And people kind of look at me like, what do you mean? It just is. And so, again, so often we're basing what we think and feel to be true without solid evidence. So we either have really good evidence to back how we think and feel. You know, we're going to get things wrong. There's going to be things that we're naturally good at and things that we can learn, or things that we just don't want to do at all, which is fine. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we either, have really good evidence, or we're just not feeling good within ourselves. So we go searching for all the things that confirm what we think and feel to be true to make, you know, the discomfort of that unknown a little bit more comfortable.
Yep.
So, you know, what it looks at is, again, with kids as well, you know, I do see, is, you know, a lot of that over-responsibility from a young age, or, you know, not understanding, because, you know, until we're taught, that's something I learned later on. as you know, what you do get to be responsible for and what you don't. And again, what I see usually is kids that are a little bit more sensitive or empathic. So, you know, they're being responsible for their friends, or, you know, they're not learning to distinguish between, you know, what's actually personal to them or what they take personally. So, you know, they're carrying a lot of stuff that isn't actually theirs in the first place. And then, you know, they're always potentially sitting on that edge of anxiety because, you know, they're trying to control everything and everyone around them. And they can't, you know, and that was pretty much, you know, a basis of, you know, anyone that runs patterns of anxiety. But, you know, what it comes down to is if, again, like you said, I do see guys from all ages that are experiencing body image stuff. And we're talking about this on my course the other night. You know, my teacher was saying, I'm seeing a lot more women coming in for anger issues, such as, you know, angry driving. And he's like, I'm seeing a lot more guys come in for self-esteem and appearance issues because we are talking about those things more. You know, women allowing themselves to get a bit more angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys are allowing themselves to express differently, which is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, even though they are having those experiences. But, you know, what I'll often, you know, when people come in regards to food, we won't even talk to the food at all because so often or not, and I do, you know, run cooking workshops and all of that to have that practical experience because I just love it. But, you know, what we look at is so often or not, we try to maintain or fix or change the outcome of our experiences, not the pattern that actually gets us into that. So I did my first reel on Tuesday. It was quite fun, the little pointy one with the music.
Oh, yeah.
But I did. He's taken out of me, but I really enjoyed it. But, you know, and I was talking about five underlying factors that contribute to deprivative or emotional eating. And, you know, they were understanding what you get to control and what you don't, understanding what thoughts and feelings are worth listening to and what ones aren't, having those boundaries in place to navigate external opinion and external influence, understanding your associations and dependencies on your routines and your food. And then also your tolerance to deal with ambiguity, which is, you know, uncertainty and discomfort. Those plus, you know, again, specific things for people, but those things are actually the patterns that lead us to that outcome of the experience.
Yep.
So that's so often or not, I'm doing this mindfulness with my food, and that's what we start with to create the space to understand those things a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But when we learn to understand our patterns, what we do, and understanding that we can only ever be responsible for ourselves and in control of what we do, our response to our experiences, and what thoughts and feelings we give time of day to, that's where we begin to understand ourselves and feel more capable in shifting our patterns. But yeah, that's the basis of what we start with. But again, looping that all the way back, to be able to do that, we have to learn to come back to ourselves in those times of discomfort or uncertainty. Because if not, we're just going to react, we're going to go into discomfort, and then we can do things that make us feel better in the moment, but they're not necessarily going to actually change what we're doing. And that's what we focus on in session, is getting you to do little things that are getting you to do differently in those times of discomfort.
So making more sustainable changes for the long term. And that happens over time. It's not a one-off fix or one session fix, you know, and creating new, and well, like you're saying, putting little breaks in the patterns which have been occurring to sort of disrupt it and to sort of break it up, because that's the key. If people are thinking, oh, how does that work? And, you know, what you just explained, the foundation of how you would approach, you know, a session and target those key values or core values, they're like the core, you know, whatever percentage, a very high percentage, you know, of the main issues, what everyone's occurring, there's just got different experiences linked to it. So I think, being able to identify them and then creating, you know, breaks and disruptions throughout that pattern, and then implementing new habits, which we've already created habits before, they're just some unhealthy ones. So how do we, you know, eliminate the unhealthy ones and implement new habits? And that's by doing the way we've been doing it forever. If we thought about it, just creating new little steps and making it as simple and as easy as possible. So in the end, consciously, we're not even thinking about it. Our unconscious is driving all this, which it is already. It's an ongoing, you know, computer, which just keeps giving and giving, you know, because it's experience and recording all our life to the day we're born to the day we die. But we can help clear out some of that, you know, excess baggage and that emotional reactions we're always having or connection with so many past events. And then we can then implement new ones, which you're saying you do, which I think is amazing and it's powerful. The more you start delving into it and the more you do it yourself, the more you start realizing the power of it can be and how you can grow so much more and see things so much clearly and react in a more positive or mutual way instead of a negative reaction as well.
Exactly. And again, when we to do all that we do in our day to day, even if we feel like that's not much and we, you know, we engage with that voice telling us we're being shit and we're not doing our, you got yourself dressed this morning. You realize, you know, you got yourself out the door or even to the couch. To be able to do that, that takes skill and mechanism,
100%.
No matter what degree. And, you know, what it comes down to is, again, when we learn to utilize, you know, what we do in some areas. So, again, this is often one that I'll reference for, you know, patterns of anxiety. You know, when it comes down to how many times have you, you know, you've been against uncertainty and you've been able to adapt. Yeah. So my favorite one is the bicycle. You know, the first time you learned to ride a bike, did you nail it? No, we fell over, we ate shit, we scraped our knees, you know, it took time and people potentially laughing at us. But, you know, what happened? You stay consistent, you build a skill, and, you know, the world doesn't promise safety, but you chose and learned a strategy to help you be more effective in those times.
Yeah.
You know, and even for myself, I love to, you know, I'll often say this one to clients, I'll say, you know, and this is, if you don't like the beach, this is going to land for you at all. But, you know, for most clients around here, I'll say, do you like going for a swim? They say, yes, I love going for a swim. So I say, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to go stand in front of the biggest wave you can on the shore and tell it to try to stop. And I go, what's going to happen? And they'll be like, well, I'm gonna, you know, get smashed or you know, X, Y, and Z.
It's just gonna take me out. Yeah, it's not gonna stop. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, why? Yeah, that's a stupid question.
Yeah,
that's what the response would be, wouldn't it? You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, but it's a really nice way to see and just give us some evidence that we don't usually give ourselves. It's like, 100%. I face uncertainty quite a lot, but I have no control over that wave. So, what are you doing when you're out in the surf or on your surfboard or in a place where, you know, you have no control? I'm focusing on what I can do, the skills I do have, and that single step forward.
Yeah,
and what I'm doing is I'm making, one of the biggest things that we look at is I'm making a really effective risk assessment.
Yep.
So where we get stuck in most of our patterns, you know, overthinking, catastrophizing, worrying, you know, all the things, is when we're making what is highly possible probable. So I'm attaching to every, you know, thought and feeling to be true. If I'm going out, you know, thinking a shark's going to get me every time, you're not going to go in the water. But, you know, there's things where we're able to negate that and come back to it. So that's the same thing when it comes to, you know, listening to every thought without backing it with solid evidence. And, you know, I like to have, we've got a couple of examples coming today, but I always like to bring a bit of humor into it. So I was always saying, you know, this is an example that I'll say, and I'll say, you know, well, tomorrow you and I, we're going to go for a rockfish tomorrow at Freshie.
Yep.
And, you know, we get there and the surf is huge. There's no, you can't even see the rocks.
Yep.
And that's when our tummies and our heads are saying, okay, that's probably not a good idea. So that's an effective risk assessment, and that's a really good time to listen and back your feelings.
Yeah.
So most of the time, there's times that we need to listen to our feelings, and then other times it's just absolute crap.
Yeah.
So this is where we really need to learn, and this is what I teach you in session, those final distinctions to help you actually decide what you're choosing and what you're not, even when it feels quite automatic. Yeah. So, you know, coming back to the beach example, that's exactly what we come back to. We come back to what I can do, what I can control, and that simple next step that I can do amongst whatever adversity that I come from. Because so often or not, what we're trying to negate, ignore, and not accept is that life is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to throw us challenge. And we think, you know, the more I worry about it or I think about it, that just negates me from taking a task. Yes. So even if clients have really solid evidence and they've got, you know, a lot of hectic stuff going on in their life, all right, well, what else can you do during these really hard times to help yourself out right now? So I always come back to changing those what ifs to a what can I do,
yep,
and to I can't, to an I get to choose.
Yeah, self-talk, isn't it? It's powerful, isn't it? The language we use influences our outcome and our perception on what we're trying to achieve as well. And, you know, we probably don't realize the relationship we have within ourselves with our self-talk. And I identify that a lot with my clients as well, like the language they're telling themselves. And then we reframe it and they're like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And then like, oh, actually, that's changed already. It's just reframing a couple of words or changing the word instead of I can't, I can, or I will do this, or I've done my best, or this is a great stepping stone to achieving what I want to achieve in the, you know, to where I want to get to, or just whatever that language is, but it's positive. And at any level, at that elite sporting level, that's what makes them different from the ones who are wanting to get there to the ones who get there. You know, their skill set's probably pretty much the same on par, but it's what they've created in their mind, around their mindset in how to achieve stuff and how to handle those pressure situations and not to overthink it or not to create too much judgment or anything else, just to be there, present the best they can and deliver what they, the outcome they need to deliver in that moment, instead of overanalyzing and trying to justify or bring in all these other expectations or opinions which aren't even valid at this time.
Yeah, and you know, I'll often say to clients as well, you know, just as much as we can choose to become absorbed in things that no longer help us, we can choose to become absorbed in things that do. But you know, what it takes is time and consistency and realizing, you know, I have a lot of clients saying, oh, it'll be like third session or something, I'm still overthinking or I'm still feeling these feelings. I go, mate, I was overthinking this morning. I went into this whole situation. I'm very, you know, honest with that, because those things will happen. You're going to have changes come that will, you know, sweep you off your feet. 5 years ago, if we said, okay, there's going to be a world pandemic and you're going to be sitting at home and your life's going to change, we probably would have been like, no, there's not.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, these things where we're so capable of adapting and, you know, doing and making change, and everyone that, you know, is here in this moment is, you know, and this is where we come back to, is just, you know, really coming to understand that, you know, emotions will come and go, experiences will come and go, but all of these tools that, you know, not only myself are teaching, but, you know, yourself as well, is to create more helpful responses and choices that we don't think we have. And that's, you know, it makes me a bit emotional, because it is such a beautiful thing to offer. And, you know, after, again, being in that space so many years ago in my own life, you know, which I'm very grateful for the path that it's led me down now. But, you know, I understand how lonely it can feel and how exhausting it can be. But, you know, over time, you know, when you, you know, it's, as I say, there's no other way than through, but, you know, there are so many things that you can learn to create those more helpful responses. But, you know, when you understand yourself that little bit more and the things that you can do, and, you know, I really, boundaries are one of the most important things.
I was just going to bring that up. Boundaries is probably the big, it's funny how you, it's just, I think we must be thinking the same, but I was going to say boundaries. What are your thoughts and your viewpoint on boundaries? Because I feel like that's probably one of the biggest keys to, you know, creating a stable foundation.
Yeah, and they're so important, because, you know, a lot of what boundaries are unconsciously there for are to avoid conflict or hurt or pain or rejection. So for us to learn to back a boundary, we actually need to understand the purpose of them and how to actually action them in the time that we need. So for me, I always kind of reference back to when I wanted to make those changes, it came down to, you know, having lots, and again, I still have them now based on the changes that I'm experiencing. And what I always say is, you know, boundaries support you to grow and evolve into who you're always meant to be. And that's to create that really healthy separation. And when you look at the bigger meaning of them, you know, I have these boundaries in place so I can be a more effective and true friend or family member, so I can have honest communication, so I can, you know, look after myself without, you know, I've experienced burnout a couple times. So, you know, for me, now it's having that, those non-negotiables for myself, with, you know, switching my phone off at night, and those are boundaries with work. But the bigger meaning of that is so I can have more time with my partner and give back to myself, so I can do all that I do. So boundaries are going to be really specific to you. But let's say you are running an emotional or deprivative eating tendency. We want to have those boundaries, you know, in those times that you understand you're a bit more reactive. So I always give this example of when I was living in my family home, and I was understanding, you know, kind of my learning to move through and create more choices around, you know, those conditioned patterns, I would take those three non-negotiable breaths before even entering my kitchen. Mm. And, you know, I'd have, you know, my family, what are you doing? She's breathing again. Yeah. And again, no judgment on them, because again, that's what you need to learn to understand too, is people are going to have opinion, people are going to make fun, but it's okay. You know, but the bigger meaning of this is, hey, I'm doing this so I can sit down and have a meal with you and fully enjoy, because that's my focus now. And again, over time, I don't need to do that anymore. You know, there's often times where I'm really busy and I'll be like, oh shit, I just ate a whole half a packet of Bickies. But that's but again, it's the response you take after to say, okay, and this is where, you know, what I kind of look at with building boundaries as well is, okay, what can I do for myself today that I didn't yesterday? Mm. When you remove that judgment, you know, from it's not just what you do in response to it. Well, it is actually that. It's what you do in response to it that helps you shift that pattern. And when you can learn from what you've done and take an effective self-analysis to say, oh, okay, I can see I responded there. Or I could see, you know, I didn't do my breaths and I rushed my food and, you know, I didn't allow myself time. So it is a lot of learning and unlearning. A lot of what I say, I don't say trial and error, I say trial and learning, you know, but those boundaries are in place to help you to create the goals that you want. And a lot of times, you know, I've had clients say, oh, but if I set that boundary, you know, that will, you know, not let me do all the things that I want to do. And I say, well, they will, but you're just understanding you're going to be doing differently to you have before. And that's the discomfort that you've been avoiding.
And that's the biggest hurdle for them, to let go of that, you know, what they've been avoiding, and they'll be able to do the things they really want to do. And the, boundaries, I think, are one of the most powerful things, and they can be used in so many different ways in our life to help us keep growing and developing and improves relationships, personal life, you know, personal self respect and appreciation for yourself and everything else, community. You know, if you create all these boundaries, you're making a healthier, sustainable person, you know, for yourself to grow into, and it's providing space and a learning platform for those boundaries to sort of expand and then develop even more. So it was funny how you mentioned boundaries, because that was literally the question or the thoughts that was coming to my head, which I wanted to bring up next, because I find the what you've just explained around boundaries is very powerful and effective in, you know, making change and not having judgment as well on a negative or a positive aspect as well. So going on from that, with the current situation we're living in at the moment in the Greater Western Sydney area, we're all in lockdown. We've been in it for already 5 or 6 weeks. I've lost count, but try not to get too caught up in it. Aware of what we need to do, and be respectful and, you know, and cooperate the best way we can. But, you know, we mentioned just before we came on about, you know, social media and the mainstream media and just getting consumed by it and how it sort of can drain us without us even knowing. Like, what are some of the tips or what advice would you say around this space for people who are struggling or a bit unsure of what's happening? Because we are living it in the moment. We can't really, we don't know how, or no one, even the people up top don't even know what's the next step or how the best way to practice. We just got to learn on the run, which is fine. But how do we reduce the anxiety around things and allow ourselves to still live and create healthy habits within our life through this period of time?
Yeah. And, you know, this is, I come back to an aspect of looking at balance in a really different way. And this is through my own experience of, you know, throughout time learning to again reassess those expectations. And you know what I say is balance is learning to adjust your choices and expectations in regards to your ever-changing daily needs. So you know, I felt myself going on a bit of a roller coaster the past 6 weeks, just you know, different feelings, different emotions, things we've had to adapt to. Other days, you know, throughout just my life, some days, you know, I'm still able to work online, which I'm really grateful for. It definitely has slowed down, but again, that's changing week to week. You know, I've got, you have other friends and family that are going through things, you know, you've got things you're so exposed to that are naturally going to alter that state for you. So, you know, again, coming back to that boundaries piece, this is where these are more important than ever. And you know, it's really coming back to, again, all I can ever be responsible for is me. And you know, focus on what I need to do to get through my day, be more effective, and to, you know, focus on that simple next step that I can take. And it was funny, I had a bit of a switch off weekend, and my whole self-care was pretty much switching off my phone and just binging two seasons of Netflix.
How good.
I haven't done that in so long, but you know, this is what we look at, and whether that was an avoidance technique potentially, but yeah. You know, what we look at is, you know, it's learning to adapt those choices and expectations. And you know, for myself, I really, even my partner and I were sitting on the couch, and we love watching the project because they just bring, you know, a bit of satire into news, which is really needed at this point. But you know, we just kept looking at each other being like, oh, you know, what is going on? Just having those glimpses of, you know, is this really our reality? So we had a bit of a switch off from news just for 3 days, just to, you know, fully be where we are, do what we need to do, prioritize time together, you know, go for our walks. And you know, there is a point where, you know, we need to know what we need to, we're doing, and that's what we're taking steps forward with now. But again, that comes down, everything changes with context, and that's what we're really seeing now. But I think if it comes down to more strategies and tools, it's learning to really take that effective self-assessment and learning to not only communicate your needs with yourself, but the people around you.
Yeah.
And so communication has been the biggest topic in the sessions I have had in the past 3 weeks. We're all learning to coexist. We've all got, you know, different opinions, neither right or wrong, neither good or bad.
Yep.
But, you know, learning to coexist is a really important thing, and there is a really effective way in how you can do that. But I wrote about that last week, and I said, you know, learning to have effective conversations comes down to the understanding that all you can ever do is be emotionally responsible for you. Yes. You can't physically make someone else feel something. You can influence, you can potentially manipulate a situation, but you can't actually make someone feel that, and that goes vice versa. And, you know, especially with being at home, and again, people are going through some really extreme things at home as well. You know, I've got a lot of friends that are about to have babies. I've got other friends going through things, and everyone's beyond that having their own personal experiences. So again, what I want to come back to, and especially what I focus on with me and my clients, is, you know, you got to take that daily effective self-assessment of what is realistic for you each and every day. And, you know, I do a little task. And
it can change, can't it, each day? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not going to be the same every day. So, and especially with what is happening, we probably are so used to our routine and our systems and habits, which is healthy, because healthy routines is good, but also we can get caught up in it and get lost in the whole picture of things. So this could be a perfect opportunity for people to reset and sort of reevaluate where they want to go and what they need as well.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, you know, our routines do, you know, occupy a lot of our times. And, yes. You know, what we are finding, there's so many, I don't know if you saw that stat today, I won't go into that too much, but, you know, with the Lifeline calls going on at the moment, and people being at home, and, you know, the rumination that does come with not being able to do all that we do, you know, there are still a lot of things that you can do, you know, with that. But again, that comes down to individual experiences. But you know, just like you said, it is an individual experience, and each day is going to be different. You know, a lot of people I've spoken to today are just in that flatline, you know, that uncertainty of, with, you know, what to do and what not to do. But it's coming down to, again, what can I choose and what can I do? And for me, that's been a lot less screen time, because my work's been a lot of screen time. You know, we're watching TV, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of other things going on with that. But you know, what I often say to clients is, you know, what are the things that I have to do to be able to do all that I do? And, you know, I'll do a little simplistic choices task that I give to most clients in that first session, because what that is a compartmentalization technique. It's not just, you'll literally see, it's just like a factor with, you know, movement, stillness, self-care, creativity, nourishment, and communication. And, you know, what that looks at is taking that time in the morning to, you know, assess how you feel, setting a realistic expectation. For me, I woke up really exhausted. I had an appointment this morning that took up most of my time. So, you know, my partner and I were lucky enough to be able to walk along the beach, along just down from our house.
Yep.
I was like, that's enough for me. I'm working till late tonight, and I'm feeling actually quite tired.
Mm.
So, you know, that was really, how do I want to move my body today? You know, what's my stillness going to be? You know, that's my breaths when I wake up, before I jump on a session, and when I go to bed. You know, what's my self-care? It's going to be less screen time when I get home tonight. You know, it's going to be, you know, all these little things. So that is a really special task. I don't know if we can share that, and somehow I've got a little template for it.
Yeah, I'd love to share it. Yeah, when I post this, I'd love to share it for the listeners to, you know, or even if you provide a link and they can go to your website or go to your or somewhere or whatever, but we can find a way to share it, because I think it's really important to do that. And listening to ourselves and understanding what we're feeling is really important. But then to set yourself up in the morning for a win, it creates the rest of the day as a win, but more as a positive and stronger, you know, feeling throughout the day of a positive vibe and mindset moving forward. So, and I think when you start understanding yourself and listening to yourself, because I think a lot of us, we've lost that touch of the connection of listening and feeling what we are actually experiencing at the time. I think we just feel like we will be, you know, stay strong and we'll just keep charging forward, but it gets to a point where it's a burnout factor or something has to give. And if we can sort of minimize that extremeness, and sort of when you see or feel it coming on, well, let's take a step back, let's do something less, or let's do what we need to do for this morning or for this day, just to sort of reset. If it is less screen time, to sort of get your head out of the screen, because we're so focused at the moment on what's happening next, what's the, you know, and we're following these numbers which we don't even know what we can do. We've got no control over it, like we mentioned earlier on. So it's at the moment, reduce the things that you can't control and bring back to what you can control within yourself. And that's creating healthy habits, good, healthy routines, boundaries, you know, and just a healthy mind, healthy body. That's the best you can do at this time, you know? So, I think that's really important. Wouldn't mind you touching a bit on about your retreat. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, you do some cooking there and all that, which sounds yummy. And I've actually seen some nice photos of them. I'm like, ooh, that looks really yummy. But if you can just give our listeners a little bit of insight on, you know, how your, well, where your retreats are and how you run them, and what's its structure around, you know, sort of, and what sort of audience or crowd are you trying to draw in to those retreats?
So we were meant to have one this weekend, but that one's been moved till September, but I don't think we'll be able to do that either, but fingers crossed. But when I first started my whole food catering, I was working on retreats there, and myself had been to a couple you know, over the past years as well, and it was just such a beautiful place to connect. I've also got an events background too, so I love planning and I love organizing, and you know, I it's one of my skills that I look at. You know, if I have an idea, I'm like, all right, let's bring it to life. Let's get this done, you know. Awesome. And especially when it's meeting a need, I love having that practical experience too. And I'm so lucky to.
Gabby, sorry to interrupt. I gather you get that go get attitude from your dad. If he's had those, you know, from what you were saying earlier on, he's had that, you know, the ups and downs throughout business, but he keeps getting up and keeps trying to make things happen. So I gather that's come through, and that learning's been very helpful for you, because seeing your dad do it before you.
Yeah, and it's been very good. My mum's very much similar as well.
Okay.
You know, she's done, you need something. So, you know, I've had conditioning from both sides. So it's been good. I'm very lucky to work in the clinic that I do. We have an amazing array of practitioners, and we run these as a team through the clinic, and we all sat down and we deal with, you know, so many different a couple of girls I work with, we do a lot of work with special needs and, you know, their families. And, you know, the girls I work with, they run something called Purify Life Skills. So they work with kids with special needs and actually teach them the tools to, you know, be more independent and effective in the world. So we do a lot of work with their parents and just, you know, people that come in for either a facial or massage or naturopathy, or Amory, that owns a clinic, does Reiki and trauma counselling. So we just want it to have an outlet that people can come and have, you know, all of these experiences. They can have, you know, nourishing food and mindfulness, you know, taught by me. They have three what's it called, treatments during their time. So you get a facial, a massage and a Reiki treatment. You're doing a lot of bushwalks, and we cater each one to a specific need and theme. So we have a lot of repeat guests, which is really great, because, you know, each time, you know, they're coming, they're getting a new experience and they're focusing on a different thing. But again, it's really allowing yourself to stop is a huge thing that, you know, we see every day, and especially during this time. It's what I was going to touch on before as well, in regards to what you were saying, you know, taking this time to reassess, but, you know, allowing yourself to actually do something is a choice.
Yes.
You know, and it has to. So often or not, it's either, you know, removing ourselves from the environment, but right now, you know, we are in that environment. So, you know, it's taking those choices of, again, you know, how can I practice those little elements of self-care, which is coming back to that list. But yeah, the retreats are beautiful. You know, I'm in the kitchen literally 12 hours a day on my feet. I come back hardly being able to walk, but I wouldn't swap it for anything. I love it. And, you know, just teaching people, again, through food and connecting and allowing themselves to relax no matter what they've been through or the experiences that they've had, to just be, you know, heard and nurtured and looked after is the whole goal for us with those.
Yep.
And it's we're excited to continue to hopefully do those next year.
Yep.
Don't know if it will continue this year, but that's okay. But they're really amazing time, and we have, you know, people coming with either, you know, family members or coming or friends or coming solo as well, and all different ages, which is really great. So it's just a nice way to come and get out of the comfort zone, try something new, and also be looked after, which is our goal for that too.
Awesome. I've seen some pictures from where it was. The location looks surreal, actually, and it looks really, it gives you that opportunity for me in my mind to connect or disconnect and sort of just reset as well. I feel like it just, the, from what I've seen, what you've promoted, it's quite a drawing card. Do guys and girls go, or is it more targeted to females, or what is the retreat structure around?
We do open it to both, but we have seen most of our clientele base has been female, but we are getting a lot more guys coming through with interest, which is good.
Yep.
So again, each one we're focusing on with next year. So we're going to do couples, and we are Nick that works here, who's a partner of one of Chelsea that works here too. He's doing Purify Life Adventures, which is our men's sector.
Oh, nice.
So just getting people out and, you know, doing, you know, getting in the bush, walking, doing all those things. So again, that's potentially something we'll venture into next year. But again, just want to the support with people, you know, so that guys can resonate with someone, because I'm sure they'd love to come and have a pamper from all the girls, but to, you know, have something too. It's good, but mostly we've had female, but we're wanting to open that up a bit more next year.
Yeah, perfect. If people were interested in seeing you as a coach, or, you know, looking or finding more information on the retreat, where's the best place for them to look up you and follow you as well?
Well, as I call it the modern day business card. You can have a look on my Instagram, which is mostly where I operate from. So that is, you can find me at The Core Health. So that's just one word, the CORE health, one word. And it's the same for my website. So it's just www.thecorehealth.com.
Yep.
And you can see everything on there, but mostly all the promoted stuff with what we've got coming up is on my Instagram. And then that has all my offerings and stuff you can find through there too.
Awesome. Well, I'll share that as well in the notes and all that with your website, your Instagram, and also we'll get that template up with the 6 questions, because I think that's a really good tool for people to start, you know, using for themselves and seeing value from it and experiencing it for themselves. So thanks for sharing that as well. So I appreciate that. Thanks again for spending some time, giving us a bit of insight on your journey, to where you've come from, to where you are. Offering some great skills and techniques which you've experienced for yourself, but also now implement in the coaching space around the mindset, and then sharing a bit about the retreat as well. So it's been very insightful. I think the listeners will love it. Last of all, I'd love to just finish off with 2 questions, which I ask all my guests. First one, what gives you purpose?
People.
Nice. People.
That's what comes to mind. You know, whenever a client comes in, and, you know, even if they, whatever, just, I know that there's that tagline of, you know, saying, showing up and, you know, doing those things, but it's, I just love my work, you know, and I think it's from understanding and being, not basing my experiences on anyone else's experiences, but just seeing people, even if it's a slight glimpse, have an opportunity to see another choice, you know, it even makes me emotional now, you know, to just know that they can make change and there is opportunity. Just that's what gives me purpose to continue to do what I do, and you know, to whatever way that's going to eventuate, to just, you know, help others and to know that they can help themselves too.
No, that's, I think that's, people's just enough, but the way you explained is, I'm getting a bit of goosebumps too, because it's a feeling that, no, but it is, it's a feeling that, like, it's, you don't even need to explain it, but it's just, it's a feeling that just of self-satisfaction, isn't it? And, you know, and just seeing people, I think people like ourselves who work in this space, we just want to see people make slight changes to see a different, you know, perspective and feel happier within themselves, or feel that joy, or, you know, whatever they're trying to, or even just be relaxed more instead of being so stressed or anxious. They're just more relaxed, and, you know, like, they're little things, but they're big things as well. In the same, if you add them all up, they really make a difference. And when you're just explaining that, yeah, it just sort of energized me, and but with a great feeling. So no, it's no better purpose than people. Hey, we'll leave it at that. I think that's a great purpose. So, and keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And the knowledge and the openness you have about that is powerful. And, you know, you probably do realize it, but you probably don't realize how effective it is, you know, with people listening and you sharing your experiences, but also you providing a space for people to, you know, to share theirs and to express what they need to express in those, you know, sessions are really powerful. And, you know, we're not doing it for those reasons, but but seeing them is just, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just a great feeling. And we'll leave it at that. But
vibes.
That's it. It is vibes. I think that's all. Sometimes we need to think we have to put too many words and everything to explain something, but it's just the vibes. Just enjoy it. So last of all, favorite destination you've been to and you'd like to go to?
Oh, Hawaii. I want to get back there so badly.
Yeah.
Bali's my default, but I feel like I need to be a bit more exotic. But yeah, I've always loved Hawaii. Just ever since I was little, I love to surf, and just the culture and community, and it's just a beautiful place. It was one of my first teachers, I can say. She was a family friend of ours, and she teaches Qigong, and we went to visit her in Kauai, and it was kind of the first, you know, I look back to all these little glimpses that have kind of led me here, and they were helping treat people. They had a facility there that was a retreat space, and they were helping re-facilitate people who had been like mass injuries or, you know, in, you know, stuff with mental health. And I would have only been like 12 years old then.
Wow.
But it's something I've never forgotten. And it's just the place I always want to go back to, because it just has such a healing element with, you know, nature and just a free lifestyle and lots of fun and good pineapples.
Good pineapples. Can't beat a good pineapple. How good. Yeah. No, so you sort of had that, you know, it's funny, we'll finish up, but you mentioned, you know, school and kids and like growing up. Sometimes we lose our purpose or our values, what we sort of stand by or what we really align with. But it's funny how you've now, looking back at 12 years old, you sort of felt that's what you really wanted, and you sort of have head down that path. But I don't know, at the time you probably didn't think of heading down that path. You probably had a whole different mapped out plan, which you've sort of mentioned before. You sort of had this expectation and trying to tick it off as it comes. But if we reflect back and go, actually it started all the way back when we were 12, and it was probably a moment before that where you experienced something where you got fulfillment and satisfaction out of it as well. But it's great that now it's aligning with you and you've created a platform and a space for it.
Yeah, cool to think about that. And thank you for highlighting that, because I'd never thought of that. So that's good.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking of it, but it is. It's sort of, you know, like, and I think because I think kids is an important aspect, but I think sometimes they get lost and lose their identity, you know, because when you mentioned your nephew as well, or niece, I'm the same with my little nieces and nephews. You see, they're just the freedom they have, and they're, you know, no judgment. It's just expressing what they see and doing what they want to do in the moment. But then we can lose that a little bit, and then we sort of find later on in life that, oh, shit, this is not who we really are. This is what we thought we had to be. And now we've got to unpack all that and then refine our true value and purpose within that, which you can find. Anyone can find it, but you don't want to get too consumed by everything else in the meantime. So yeah.
Yeah,
but exactly. Yeah, I just thought
we could talk for hours, I reckon.
Yeah, we definitely could. Yeah, we'll have to probably do another one. We could come on with a particular topic and talk about that, yeah, if people are interested as well. So I think that would be good. But I just thought today would be great for you to share what you have and, you know, give a bit of insight, because I think, you know, that's powerful in itself. Favorite place you would like to go to?
To go to Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
You say that sounded really bad. Yeah, I'd love to. I've always just wanted to do like really northern Europe. I'm obsessed with just, I've never been a snow person. My family have always just loved and chased the sun.
Yeah.
So I've always just been, yeah, always want to go there, go see the Huskies, and I don't know if they're there. Just have it, yeah, just go into the mountains and experience. I'm a very big nature bug.
Yeah.
So I'd love to just have, I've always chased the sun, so that's always been somewhere I've wanted to go and just, you know, go get lost in the wilderness and in the snow and experience a really different culture.
Yep.
So hopefully when we can travel again, we'll be able to go there.
We will. Maybe not in the short term, but we'll get there. And if you do go there, you got to definitely share your experience on that, because that would be an amazing place. I'm probably more like you, like the warmth and all that, but I always do like a winter holiday if it's an activity of like the snowboarding and all that. But I think Iceland would be a whole different element again. And living in that environment and that culture for a bit would be an eye-opener, but also fulfilling as well.
Yeah. Yeah, get a bit of Wim Hof there in the water.
Definitely. That will really test you, won't it? Just focus on that breathing. We'll get there. Right? But Sammy, thanks again for sharing your story, giving us your time today. And I really appreciate everything you've provided. And I'll give the listeners all your details. And if you can send me through the template for those questions, the five, you know, questions or six questions, I'll share that with everyone as well.
Thank you so much, and keep doing what you're doing too, because you're helping a lot of people.
Oh, thanks, Sammy. Thank you. But yeah, no, like I think we're both on the same page. We both enjoy it, and it's not a chore. It's actually a great fulfillment within us, and it gives us great vibes.
Great vibes. All about vibes.
Yeah, all about vibes. All about vibes. So all good.